4 weeks from now, though, you might have a little bit of an appetizer or a meal, because 4 weeks from what, this Thursday?
This Thursday, yeah. 4 weeks from Thursday.
Baltimore, Kansas City, game one, opening night. Mm-hmm. Banner gets revealed again. And we are on the countdown, Max. So here we go.
So today, 4 weeks, we're going to do four Chiefs losses.
Mm-hmm. I'll sit this one out because they're going 17-0. Thank you very much.
I don't think any of us really do have them losing four games last time I checked. I think Dusty and I have them 14-3. I think, Bob, you said 15-2, but so
if I had to go with a couple of losses, yes, I will go 15-2. I think most of America, though, like the betting public, probably has the Chiefs sitting at 1-1 after the first 2 weeks of the season, right? Don't you think that's what most people probably are looking at the schedule? They're going, all right, the Chiefs aren't going to win both against Baltimore and Cincinnati, so they'll be 1-1 after the first two games of the season, right? They can't do that. That's a gauntlet at the beginning of the season, 2-0.
Okay.
Does anyone have them losing the first two games?
I do not.
I do not either.
Just because they're both at home, and of course, obviously, we'll get into it a little bit later, there's a whole bunch of blank fire starting around the league in the worst possible time, at least in my opinion, but I don't have them losing the first two games at all.
Me either. My first loss will actually be week three at Atlanta.
Yeah, you're married to this one for whatever reason. Why?
So I think these first 2 weeks, they're going to be focused. They've already got we've talked about it. Their first play against Baltimore, Andy Reid already got it drawn up. They're ready to play Cincinnati. They want that rivalry. Ja'Marr Chase talking that smack. Obviously, they'll get a chance to play Joe Burrow. They didn't get a chance to play him last year. That's our biggest rival probably right now in the NFL. Sure. I don't think it's anyone in the AFC West. I think they're looking forward to those two matchups. They're going to be prepared. And I don't think they'll be necessarily sleeping on Atlanta, but it's a primetime game. They've just placed two, Super Bowl contenders. I think maybe they just kind of come in a little sleepy and they lose in primetime to Kirk Cousins at Atlanta. That's the first loss for me for Kansas City. Next loss, week 11 at Buffalo. Buffalo knows how to beat us in the regular season.
They do. Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Yeah. Nice. At Buffalo, they'll be hype, I'm sure. Josh Allen will play pretty well, as he does in the regular season. Week 16, Texans. This is our one and only home loss I have. I think Houston comes in ready to go. They're excited to play at Kansas City. The Chiefs, only a measly two losses. You know what? Fine. They drop one. It's a close game. And then week 18, they don't start their starters, and they lose at Denver.
Yeah, I look at it like this. If the Chiefs are going to lose two games, it's going to be two of the final three games of the season. I think Houston and Denver are the likely ones for me, because I think Houston comes in all hyped up. Like, that's going to be their Super Bowl. They prove that they've, arrived. I think they're going to have a really good season, and beating the Chiefs would kind of be the cherry on top, and then they come back for the playoffs and get waxed when it matters most. And I'm with you. I think they'll be sitting at 16-1 after that Pittsburgh game, or 15-1 after the Pittsburgh game, and they're going to say to themselves, all right, we're not playing anybody against the Denver Broncos. Sorry if people are making the trip out to Denver to watch us play, but Mahomes isn't playing, Kelsey isn't playing, Worthy isn't playing, Rice isn't playing, Pacheco isn't playing. All the non-starters are going to play in this game, so I think they probably lose that one. That's where I come up with the 15-2. If you're holding me to them potentially losing a game, because I just think this team has got this mindset this year, guys. I know I'm hyperbolic at times, but this is the year I feel like it's no holds bar. It's screw you. It's kick everybody's ass. It's take names and then kick your ass again as you're leaving.
I have a little bit of similarities with both lists. I think, again, 14-3 and some of the losses, I'll lean into the homerisms that I'll have here, but I'm like Mac. I think the Atlanta game on the road is the first question mark of the season. Look, I don't think it's a bad thing to lose that game. I just feel like that's one of those games that they always seem to drop that you find yourself wondering why. Mm-hmm. You have the Christmas Day game last year, even though that was a home game, it was a weird loss. You had the Indianapolis game a couple years ago where Chris Jones said something to Matt Ryan, and there was just a couple of fluke things that happened. This is going to be a huge game for Atlanta. This is like their first big test. You get the Super Bowl champions in town, Kirk Cousins, that offense, that defense is terrible. I think they might drop that one if I had to pick one. I don't see them losing at San Francisco because that's the week after the bye. We know the history with Andy Reid.
Sure.
The other two I have is similar to yours. The Denver game, last game of the year where nobody plays. It doesn't matter. It's Carson Wentz versus Bo Nix, and it's Bo Nix's big, I made it this far. I'm going to just go out and, blaze of glory and try to earn the spot next year. Nobody plays, no Kelsey, no Rice, anybody plays that game for the Chiefs. Who cares if they lose that game?
Yeah.
And then the only other one that I think is kind of a hiccup in the schedule is at Cleveland, December 15th. That's a noon game. They don't play a whole lot of noon games. Now they finish the season with three consecutive noon games. But that's one of those games. Good defense, could be fired up. They got a good running back. That's a team that could, you know, potentially hold you on defense and also could take the clock out of the game with Nick Chubb back there as well. Look, I'm not afraid of these teams, but if I had to find losses, which is tougher than finding wins, which is a beautiful thing in Kansas City these days.
Right, right.
Those are the three that I think somehow, I don't think anybody would be mad about that. I know the Texans, I'm like, Dusty, come on, at Cleveland, Deshaun Watson and all those guys, you think they could? Well, I mean, it's at Cleveland. It's
Watson,
a new game.
Yes!
It's, you know, it's in that stretch where you play all those games in a short amount of days. I don't think they lose to Houston at home. I don't think they lose to the Chargers at home. And then you have Pittsburgh on, you know, Christmas Day on that Wednesday. So it's in that stretch of games where it's a lot at the same time. You're traveling, playing noon games, yeah, yada, yada. So to put some sort of educated guess into it, those are my three losses. At Atlanta, at Cleveland, and then at Denver, you go undefeated at home. You go with three losses on the road.
Three losses on the road, yeah. I mean, you tend to lose games away from your crib more than you do at home, but I just think that's different this year for this team. I think there's a mission, and the mission isn't just to win the Super Bowl and three-peat. It's to do damage to the rest of the NFL and to really assert themselves as this dynasty that they are, because we're going to continue to hear about this dynasty and are they a dynasty, and people want to say they're not a dynasty, and people still want to say that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. Like, all of this is wearing on Patrick Mahomes, man. Like, it really is. Like, I think this is the year where they just go, all right, enough's enough. You want to continue to play reindeer games, we'll show you who's boss. And I just believe they're going to go out there and assert their will like we've never seen before. 17-0, three-peat, undefeated season. Let's roll, boys.
Fair enough. 4 weeks away. 4 weeks away. You get football every day of the week moving forward until February.
That's right.
First preseason game this Saturday. Can't wait to dive into that on Friday.
Oh,
Get ready.
I can't wait. I may take an ice bath before 8 o'clock. I'm so excited about the preseason game this weekend.
You'll be in bed by halftime. Be 8 o'clock at halftime Saturday night. Feeling good on a Sunday.
Good,
you got
yeah.
to see everything you wanted to see.
Yep. First 5 minutes of the game. Watch each first team offense, first team defense, and call it a night, baby.
That's it.
Dinner reservation at 7 with that 6 o'clock start. Let's go.
I am one of those goofy guys that'll have people over and smoke meats out and get an excuse to have a Saturday day.
Sure, absolutely, yes.
Oh, yeah. Meat comes off the smoker at 5:30. Feel free to come over and eat.
Yeah,
get loose. And then by 7 o'clock, we can go have the rest of our night to ourselves because nothing else matters.
No, about 6 to 6:20 is what you're only you're going to need to kind of pay attention to on this one, right?
It's almost like week one in preseason. You hope they don't score on the first drive.
Yeah,
you're like, well, maybe they'll go back out for the second drive.
No chance. Even if they go 3 and out, they're not going back out for the second drive. And there's a good chance they don't go out for the first drive.
I can't wait for the question of Andy, how many plays do you think the starters are going to play?
They'll
probably go deep into the second quarter.
Yeah, right.
As we get into cliches on a Friday, you know that's coming.
Deep into the second quarter. Every year it's deep into the second quarter, and every year they're pulled.
Game is, they're probably going to play about it into the first half.
Yeah.
Like they play two drives.
Yeah, two drives. Yeah.
They lied to us. Again. I don't know. It's always funny to hear those. But 610 Sports Radio, KCSB, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Liberty, and Odyssey Station.
Like, preseason sports are awful. Like, the NBA preseason is brutal. Mm-hmm. I don't mind spring training because you're in Arizona or Florida. The weather's nice. It's winter, and you're trying to get away and all that stuff. It makes you warm. I don't mind spring training baseball. But this preseason exhibition football stuff is for the birds. And, you know, it's why people complain all the time. Oh, they're going to go to this 18-game schedule. You're not watching these preseason games. Give us one more game that matters, one more game that counts, and eliminate another one of these exhibition games that are just money grabs for everybody out there. They're a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah, and something that a lot of people are doing, I don't understand, but they might be wasting everybody's time in the NFL this year, is having the continued reasoning. I don't understand what it is to just keep poking the bear at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
I'm here.
That Dwayne Wade's laugh?
So that's not really necessarily the first thing that happened, but that's one of things that have happened. Where in the midst of a three-peat, and fellas, I don't know, maybe you can dive into this as well, but in the midst of a three-peat, there seems to be the most sort of bulletin board material, some people call it smack talk, trash talk, dumb talk. For some reason, we're doing this in the midst of the best quarterback in the NFL, who we know can get petty, who's on the brinks of a three-peat, another MVP award possible if you're going to do this, and yet we're continuing to add fuel to this fire that the Chiefs are just in a lawn chair going, wait, I just need to sit here with my cooler and sip and watch you guys burn this thing until the wee hours of the morning.
And that's why, you know, that's why I feel like this is going to be a year, Dusty, that we're never going to forget, because I think every week it seems like there's another sort of, if you will, slight towards Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It kind of started with Jamar not saying, you know, Patrick's name, right? Like, he wasn't going to say the name of the number one player in the NFL. Then we had the Kermit the Frog incident, as you played there with, you know, Raider rookie and seventh round draft pick holding the, you know, puppet that looks like Kermit the Frog, and it's Patrick Mahomes. Then you have John Harbaugh talking about Lamar Jackson being the greatest quarterback of all time. Lamar Jackson still hasn't done anything in the postseason that would even put him in the category of greatest quarterback of all time, let alone greatest active quarterback or greatest quarterback of his generation, because there's another guy in his way. That's Patrick Mahomes. And then, of course, we know what happened over the weekend. The number four ranking came out of Patrick Mahomes in the top 100. And I saw that and I immediately went 20-0. 20-0, because you had Tyreek Hill ahead of him. You had Lamar Jackson ahead of him. Who was third on that list that was ahead of Patrick? Christian McCaffrey. And you had Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the back-to-back Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, number four on that list. Now, maybe the vote was taken after the Oakland game, okay? And on the Christmas Day side of things, everybody looked at that and went, ugh, that's no good. But on no planet can you tell me that those three guys are better NFL players than Patrick Mahomes. And so Patrick reads that. We know how petty he is. These things just keep adding up week after week after week that go into that notebook that he writes down, that he remembers, that will give him that motivation to go 20-0 and to kick your ass. Like, all of these people, man, when are you going to learn? Vote Patrick number one. Say he's the greatest. Don't say anybody's better than him. And don't mock him, because now he's got more of a reason to go out there and dominate.
And who'd have thought that Jamar Chase hated Tyreek Hill?
And who's the number one player
on the what? I'm not saying him. I give credit when it's due, but I'm not saying his name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I'm not saying his name, brother. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow. I'm not saying that guy's name. He's good. He's amazing. He's good. Not gonna lie. I'm salty, though. I'm a little salty. 2 years in a row. But I'm putting Burrow first.
I guess Tyreek Hill's inside Jamar Chase's head.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Jamar Chase doesn't like Tyreek Hill.
He's salty.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right.
Which that's kind of leads me to believe that this is how you know that list was not accurate. Because if Jamar Chase was one of the players, and maybe they vote on it, I know he probably didn't vote, but to think that automatically before the whole list is out, who's number one, and he's even saying, like, I know it's Mahomes, I'm just not going to say his name.
Right.
And then it comes out to be Tyreek Hill. And it's like, okay.
But what, like, from an NFL standpoint, who did the list, right? Having Patrick Mahomes number one, does that get you the clicks? Does that get people talking about it? Does that get the notoriety that this thing got over the weekend? Does that get the run that it get if you put Patrick Mahomes number one? Of course it doesn't. So you change things up a little bit. Not only do you not have Patrick Mahomes number one, but you have the audacity to put him in at number four. That's going to generate conversation. You've got to think with the business mind when you're thinking about sports. Yes, sports is about the athletics on the field, but at the end of the day, it's about the puppet masters behind there trying to make more money, trying to get clicks, trying to get you to react. What's going to get more of a reaction? Tyreek Hill is the number one player in the NFL, or Patrick Mahomes is the number one player in the NFL? It's going to get more reaction, more conversation, more clicks, more discussion when people talk about Tyreek Hill being the number one player in the NFL. And it's setting itself up. This is the script, fellas. It's setting itself up for Patrick Mahomes now to go to 20-0. When did you think about going 20-0? Well, when they made Tyreek Hill the number one player in the NFL. Now we see the NFL working behind the scenes to create the script for everybody to have the Kansas City Chiefs go 20-0.
So you think the players voted on it, but then the NFL said, "Yeah, let's make this more interesting."
I trust nothing of what I see. Okay,
that's the script.
I trust nothing of what I see. The best TV shows have a script. The best TV shows are planned out. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to come. What's good for business, right? What's good for business? Controversy, craziness in the NFL, talking about somebody other than Patrick Mahomes being the number one player. Oh my God, that's great for business, and it's great to motivate Patrick as well.
Is the best thing for the NFL a three-peat?
Yeah.
Because I feel like then it's like to the point where it's like, well, we can't let it be four. And then it's like, well, you haven't stopped it in the last 3 years.
Right.
I don't know. Because
it's something that's never been done before. It's right. History. Everybody's going to be paying attention, right? Like the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's lay this out. We're in New Orleans. They're at the Super Bowl, the whole nine yards, right? Okay. Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. Everybody is going to be talking about that three-peat. That is good for the NFL. More people are going to be dialed in to see history happen. And as the wins start to tick down, you know, and you get closer and closer to the holiday season, people tend to do their thing. You go away, you have family over, the whole nine yards. You kind of lose interest. But if the Chiefs are winning and you know, you get to the holiday time and they're 14-0, 15-0, yeah, that's a ratings boost because everybody's going to be paying attention, trying to figure out, are the Chiefs going to do this? Are they going to run the table? And then they beat the Chargers. Then they beat the Browns. And then you're talking about a 14-0 team welcoming Houston in. Then it's 15-0. Then you're on the road to Pittsburgh. Can they go 16-0? Like, yeah, this is the best thing that the NFL could have because it's historic. It's dominance. And it really is with a team that a lot of people do like. Like, it's not a team that was hated like the New England Patriots were. So I think there's going to be a lot of people rooting for Patrick Mahomes in this one and wanting to see that history. And then there's going to be the other side of everybody tuning in to watch, when are they going to lose, right? You don't want to miss them going down in flames. And so I just think this is the best thing to happen to the NFL probably since, you know, the Patriots were going 17-0 and having an opportunity to go for that perfect season, which didn't pan out. And if the Chiefs do it, they become the greatest team in NFL history. Bye-bye, 72 Dolphins. Enough of seeing you guys pop champagne. This will be, if they win the Super Bowl and go 20-0, the greatest team in the NFL in the history of the league. And there really is no debating that at that point in time.
Speaking of the Patriots, real quickly, he's back in the tabloids. News. Tom Brady says if the right opportunity comes along, he would be willing to unretire. Brady just turned 47 years old, but is in the best shape as an area. It says is in good a shape as anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, 47. Will these stories or will these leaks ever end? Is he really going to sit in the broadcast booth with a jersey underneath his suit, take it off and be like, all right, I'm back in the NFL?
I think he should do the first game with shoulder pads under his suit, coach, just in case somebody gets hurt in that game and he has to run down there and be on the field.
I do think he should have eye black on.
Yeah.
When he announces the game.
I'm with that.
You can go back in any time. Well, if the opportunity is there, I might do it.
Yeah, well, Jim, I'm ready. And we'll know after the first game if Tom Brady's going to be any good at this thing, right? I think we'll have a pretty good inkling after the first game if Tom Brady's going to be any good at this broadcasting. And if it goes the way of Jason Witten did on Monday Night Football, Tom Brady may be back sooner rather than later. But if something were to happen here, I would 100% go out and sign Tom Brady and bring him in to be the quarterback of the Chiefs. Are you telling me you're going to give Carson Wentz the opportunity to run this machine? No, no, no. Tom Brady is the first phone call I make if anything ever happened to Patrick Mahomes. This guy wants to play. He's a winning pedigree. Imagine Patrick Mahomes getting injured and Tom Brady coming in and being the guy to take over that locker room. Like, you don't think the guys are going to respect that? Guys are going to feel like they have a chance to win? You line up Carson Wentz, how many of them dudes are going to look at him and go, we don't have a chance to win this game anymore. Yeah. We got Carson Wentz.
But the outcome that I would give you that would be the worst possible situation is, let's say that you do lose Mahomes for the season. You do call Tom Brady and you do win a three-peat and he's the quarterback.
And he's the quarterback, right?
I would never
be the greatest thing for the NFL.
No,
I would puke 17 days in a row, just nothing but bile, and I would just hate my life.
I want
the Vegas Raiders to do it. That's who I want to see do it.
You want to see them do it, yeah.
Go sign Brady, and then he just gets absolutely plummeted by the Chiefs.
They absolutely should have already signed him based on what they have at that quarterback spot. Like, Tom, you can go one more year and play one more year here, then join the broadcast booth. That's what I would have done if I was, you know, if I was Mark Davis in that Lloyd Christmas haircut. I would find a way to get Tom Brady to be the quarterback. Because right now, the Raiders, as much as I like Antonio Pierce as their coach, they don't have a chance when you don't have a quarterback.
Not a chance. Gardner Minshew, baby.